Man, it's been a couple of weeks, hasn't it? We're going to be talking a little bit about all the events that have been leading up to tonight's episode of NXT, as well as tonight's episode right now, so don't you go anywhere.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Hello, Dad? All right. Hello, everybody. It's going to be a weird one. I say we. I do not mean we, because I am here by my onesie. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the NXT After Show right here on AfterBuzz TV. Due to the terrifying state of Los Angeles traffic, the terrifying state of sickness and family plans, not family planning, because that's a completely different thing, the rest of the NXT team is unfortunately not here. Now, don't turn it off just yet. I know you want to, because it's just my dumb mug, but this means that it's going to be an even more interactive show. If you're watching live, that means please do not hesitate to comment in the live chat, which is just to the left of your screen, just to the right of your screen, or on the bottom of your phone or other mobile device that you use to watch this. So I am very sad as well, Tina, a one-man show. But here's what's going to happen. I don't get a chance to just kind of talk off the cuff. I do a lot of making sure that everybody gets a time to talk, but what about my time, damn it? Tonight we're going to start by talking about tonight's show, because that's the gimmick. That's the whole thing. I got the signs behind me. It's the NXT After Show, and then we're going to go on and talk about a little bit about TakeOver, a little bit about the week after, and a little bit about some of the news that happened in, you don't need the cue, some of the news that happened, so yeah. Thanks, everybody, for the support. This is going to be an interesting one. We are hoboless, so you'd think, being a homeless man, our good friend Robert Baines would be one to, despite that, just infect the general population as well as the population of the studio, but he can't talk. That's the problem, is that man, I mean, he's more than just a voice, but he's going through a lot right now, physically, and there's a big week, there's a big week coming up in the world of wrestling. If you're in Los Angeles, I'll leave it at that, so we're trying to make sure that he gets better. No Bill Hanstock, he had to leave right after Xbox 12360, which you all should look at. It was very UK-centric. We had a wonderful, Flash Morgan Webster, yes, on the show, and it was a great conversation with a great talent. He's the guy that faced off against Zack Sabre Jr. for the CWC qualifier. We had him in. It was a wonderful time. And Nicole, dear God, traffic. I feel so, the time that she left where she needed to be versus the time that she would have gotten here, she would have missed the watching the show and part of this show, so I don't blame her. So welcome to the canceled show with Mark Tonica. That it me. So make sure to let all of the other folks know that you miss them, because I do dearly. Oh boy, was I looking forward to seeing the team all together again after 2 weeks. But let's talk about the show tonight. We got a rematch of the Street Profits versus Sabatelli and Moss. And one of the things that really struck me again in this match from that was a little bit different from the last time was Sabatelli and Moss are trying to outperform the Street Profits. They understand the power that lies in having the will of the people on their side, and the Street Profits do. Dawkins and Ford, they live for that crowd reaction and that crowd interaction, and the crowd, they give it right back. I'm super excited to see when they make their TakeOver debut, which I can imagine being Royal Rumble. But I agree. Kyle Franklin in chat says, Moss is looking more and more like Chuck Palumbo. I think the lighting as well in the arena, it's not that even TV lighting. It was very much live event lighting. And they didn't seem as oily. Speaking of the lighting, when it came to Riddick Moss's tights, as they were walking out, they wear the shorts for trunks, not just the regular trunks. but he has like a silver accent on the side, and because of the lighting, it just kind of formed in with, like, it melded in with his skin for me. And we also, the TV's like a good 8 feet and like a small TV away from the monitor that we watch on. So it looked like he was just wearing really, really tight trunks, and it messed me up a little bit. It was a little disturbing. Then I went, oh no, okay, that's right. That's not real. So that freaked me out a little bit. But I think... I take that back. I was going to say this is the best that Sabatelli and Moss have looked. I totally disagree. I think they've looked better because you can't beat the Street Profits. They've got everything. They've got it all. And Dawkins, I think this was my favorite match that I've seen Angelo Dawkins in, because he really got a chance to show his power against both Sabatelli and Moss. And two big dudes on the other side of the ring, and Dawkins was in there making it look easy, and while showing a little bit of speed when he got the hot tag at the end of the match. But Montez Ford, every match is different. Every finish is a little bit, every time that they finish off their opponents, it's a little bit different, and they keep it fresh every single match. And there's no limit to where the Street Profits can go. They're definitely tied for favorite tag team with the Beef Boys. I get equally as excited when I hear the Street Profits horns and that truck backing up. Oh, dude. Now I want some sort of... Oh, God. Oh, I want this. All right, check this out. Some sort of thing where we get an 8-man tag where the Street Profits and Heavy Machinery have to team up against, I don't know, Undisputed Era or Sanity or whatever, whomever, so that we get a chance to see Dozer and Ford work off of each other. Man, oh, I want it. I want it real bad. Marionette is saying Street Profits versus New Day or Usos or Benjamin and Gable. I would love to see Street Profits versus Usos and see them promo off of each other. Oh boy. Sharkasaur says, I'll say it again. Follow Dozovic on Instagram. His stories are just singing classic rock and cooking meat like everywhere, every day. I'm about it. I'm going to do it. Kyle Franklin saying next year's War Games. Hell yes. And I just lost my computer. Give me a second. Anyway, the match between these two teams was only fun because the Street Profits were there. But Riddick and Moss, I do that all the time. Sabatelli and Moss, they did fine, I suppose. I think my major issue with it is that they're not focusing on getting the match done, because near the end, Riddick Moss was doing the shimmy that that Montez Ford does in just trying to piss him off, piss the crowd off, or whatever. And he paid for it. He ultimately paid for it. And the beautiful spine buster, and Montez Ford, his body control when he's mid-air is remarkable, because he got hit pretty hard throughout a lot of this match, but it seems like anytime he decides to dive off of the top turnbuckle, he can control how fast he falls, like it's a Super Nintendo game, or how far he goes, because the airtime, I called it a hang time splash that he got, that he landed for the win, was remarkable. He is such a physical specimen, and this team is a highlight of any episode of NXT, and it's it was said in chat before, it's a wonder that they haven't made it on a takeover yet, but also it's a wonder that they weren't just popped immediately up onto the main roster. And this is a team that has been making their rounds in the live event circuit before making it on TV, and we've been lucky enough to have an eye in on some of their progress, and it's been a long time coming, and they're reaping the rewards because they're an amazing team. Unfortunately, my rundown was on my computer, which the battery just died on. I plugged it in, but while that's happening, I'm going to bring up my document here on my telefono, and we will move on. Thrilling television. After this, so we got a little bit about our tag team for the end, our tag team match for the end of the night. We heard from Mark Andrews why somebody as positive and maybe not happy-go-lucky, but I'll stick with positive. Why somebody like Mark Andrews would team up with Pete Dunne against Mustache Mountain, a little questionable, but he revealed that he and Pete go way back, so there's a little bit of a relationship there. But he agreed so that if they win the match, he would become the number one contender for the UK title. I love that story. Let's work with it. Let's nail it. Next match of the night, Kairi Sane versus Peyton Royce. This was a good match. It was a little paint by numbers for me personally. It was a lot of the basic stuff that we see from Peyton and Billy. But a bunch of amazing strikes. That back kick that Peyton hit on Kairi was artistic. It was lovely. It was pretty good. Sorry, something's happening on the computer and I'm distracted. Anyway, Kairi Sane gets the elbow drop for the win, ultimately. And great. I hope that it's not too long, I hope that with Kairi Sane, they're trying not to set up another undefeated streak like they did with Asuka. Because Kairi's amazing and her abilities are amazing. She's not what they set Asuka up to be and what Asuka became in NXT. I don't think that matches the archetype of a Kairi Sane and her. With Asuka, she did lose like in a tag team competition. She wasn't pinned. And same thing with the Fatal 4-Way. Ember Moon pinned Nikki and Peyton. She didn't pin Kairi, so they can still make the thing. Oh, well, she wasn't pinned, so she still hasn't lost, but whatever. After this, we find out that Ruby Riott, with one or two T's, we still don't know, and Sonya Deville are going to be taking part in a little bit of interpromotional contest next week. They're going to be in a no-holds-barred match, which I'm pretty excited for, and we'll talk about that a little bit when we talk about last week's show. Code Orange, we found out that Code Orange, that provided some music for NXT in the past and live performed Aleister Black's theme at Brooklyn? Yeah, at Brooklyn. They got nominated for a Grammy for Best Metal Performance. Congratulations to them. A little bit on the sadder note, we did find out that Drew McIntyre has suffered a torn bicep. They haven't been clear on whether or not they're going to need any surgery on it, but usually an injury like that takes about 6 months to heal. And I hope that it doesn't need surgery. I hope it's not super minor. If you want a little bit more insight in what goes into an injury like that, I highly recommend that you go tune into X-Pac 12360 right here on AfterBuzz Wrestling and Sports, because Sean Waltman himself talks about when he tore his bicep, and it was a similar thing to what Drew did. So make sure you check out X-Pac 12360 as well. After this, we find out that there's going to be a celebration for Almas. And if you saw Triple H's tweet about the NXT tapings tonight, you can see that he was watching that very segment. All right, let's catch up here on this. Pro Wrestling Sheet said timeline was 3 to 6 months. That depends on the severity of the issue, but that is true. Thank you, Ryan Satin. His arm did look swollen. Totally agreed. And Kyle Franklin, or everybody's talking about the interpromotionality of it. Raw versus SmackDown and NXT. Is anybody just reminded of Taz versus Mike Awesome for the ECW Championship way back in the day? Which is just a little bit of a pull. They need a top bad guy right now to chase Ember. Agree. Well, Marie, who do you think that is? That's what I'd like to know. Lake Baloney Williams saying, I'm scared of the thought of the Street Profits being called up to the main roster. Of them getting lost in the shuffle, I think if you put them on SmackDown, I think they're... Because like right now on SmackDown, there's so many great tag teams. And then for a couple of months, it was like, yeah, tag teams, I guess. But, and I guess you might be able to count Owens and Zayn as a tag team. But, yeah, it's, oi. But, I think the Street Profits, I don't think they fit on Raw, though I would, oh goodness. If only the Revival stuck around for a match with the Street Profits, a top of the line Revival match with the Street Profits. Oh boy. Woo. A lot of wishes tonight because I don't have people to impose my will upon and questions about. Similarly, the next Survivor Series should be NXT versus Raw versus SmackDown if they're going to keep doing the brand loyalty stuff. So here's the thing. They already do that. It's called TakeOver being the night before Survivor Series. And NXT wins every time. Ember versus Mercedes. They already did that the week before. Do you think some ladies competing in the Mae Young Classic were signed given the five ladies called up? Yeah, I think so, but we'll talk about that a little bit later. But Mustache Mountain versus Pete Dunne and Mark Andrews. This was awesome. It makes me feel like we don't have a UK show yet, but once we do, I would love it if they started adding a tag team division, because this was electric and physical, and it had, I think the only thing keeping it from like the presentation that we're familiar with is the fact that this was a house show. Yeah, it was really bizarre. Oh, I totally forgot about one of the major things that happened tonight. But I'll talk about that after this match. The electricity between Dunn and Bate is still there. And if the Mustache Mountain versus Street Profits, oh boy, that'd be nuts. But something tells me Royal Rumble weekend, Pete may defend in a fatal four-way against Mark Tyler and Trent. Oh boy. That would be a little too crazy. Man. I don't think they would need the match at Royal Rumble. We'll talk about that. Either way. But one of my favorite things about this match is whether he was directly involved in the match or not, Pete Dunne retained control over all of the situations, whether it was taking advantage of a missed tag from Mark or forcing a tag onto Mark. And there were a couple of times where Mark, well, he slapped the crap out of him. But Pete was in control the entire time. And that showed his strength not only as a performer, but as a champion. It shows that he's willing to do anything to keep that championship. Hey, what's up? Hi, nice to see you. But Andrews, we don't see him too often, but it was nice to see him involved in this match as much as he was. Some of the tag team matches, the double teaming moves that he and Pete Dunne did, whether it was forced on by one or the other, spectacular. But also Mustache Mountain showing how well they work together and why they've been a tag team for so long. Dude. Tyler Driver 97 for the win, and Pete attacks Andrews after the fact, even leaves, comes back, hits the bitter end, and that was the end of the show. Now, before we leave, Sammy Talks, what's up? White guy here. But for people watching this after the fact, I'm really happy that you're going to be confused and not watching the live chat. That makes me a little happy. God, my flipping front hair, what little I have of it. Okay, so let's talk about the weeks that were. Now, unfortunately, due to all of the scheduling with my fellow hosts and timing, and by the time that we could get us all together, it's not going to work. We are not going to be able to do a TakeOver War Games show like we usually do, but we're going to pepper in, especially if they do another short show like they did, we're going to pepper in our opinion on some of the stuff while it happens. Now, I think the event as a whole, when it came to War Games and the next week's NXT, which was shot at the same time, one of the best NXT events that I can remember, other than ones that I've been to. Phenomenal. I'll start with TakeOver proper. I'm trying to get the matches up here because it was, dude, Thanksgiving weekend was so flipping long. All right, so it started off with Cassius Ohno versus Lars Sullivan. Lars's entrance is so cool. It's so it's so minimal, but it's enough to really keep that grotesqueness that they're trying to hit with Lars. Also, you can go to nxteam.spreadshirt.com, pick yourself up a Lars Attacks shirt, like some good friends of ours did over this past weekend. If you want to support the show, and oh boy, do we need support right now, head on over to nxteam.spreadshirt.com. We put up custom t-shirts. We've got a really silly one. I like Ike for Fabian Eichner. Lars Attacks, like we just mentioned, Wrestling Professional. That's where you can get some exclusive hobo gear. There's some stuff that isn't on his Pro Wrestling Tees site that we carry. So if you're a fan of the hobo and you want to support Mr. Baines, make sure that you head on over to nxteam.spreadshirt.com. Bill's got some shirts. I've got some shirts. Christmas season's coming up. There's some stuff that isn't directly related to us, but is still fun. So please head on over to nxteam.spreadshirt.com. It would really help us out. Thank you. Cassius, I think, like we talked about on the show, he focused too much on him being a striker and only went for elbows and kicks. It seemed like his strategy didn't welcome the idea of anything else, or maybe that was the only thing he felt like he could do, but it wasn't enough to take down Lars. So happy at how Lars fared. Why is that doing a thing? But love that match. Absolutely love that match. Aleister Black versus Velveteen Dream. What did I tell you? There's a couple of people in this chat. We've been talking up about Velveteen Dream for the longest time. I've been waiting for this feud for the longest time. And damn, did it deliver. Dude, I flippin' love this match. I love Dream. I love Black. A stellar performance that I think will live on and ring on in the annals of history. Holy crap. I just forgot that thing that I was going to mention about tonight's NXT show. Christy Olsen made her ring announcing debut. And while it is good for a first time, careful about your throat. You don't want to blow out your voice. Cause it's one of those things where if you're going to be announcing all night and consistently on a tour, just be careful. We love you. Congratulations, Christy. And we'll blurp good work, and we'll see you. Hopefully we'll get to see you in the ring soon again. But no, you're fine. You don't need to do it. Let's see. Look. There she was. So congratulations to her. But just hopefully she wasn't going through anything, because she sounded a little in her chest. And yeah, anyway. Joseph Boza, Aleister Black made WWE fans believe in not only Patrick Clark, but Velveteen Dream as a character. Sharkosaur, I'm sure there are more recent examples, but the perfect confluence of great story paid off by great wrestling. Remind me of Sasha Bailey. That's a wonderful point. And I've been telling, man, one of my favorite things is, at the studio that I work at, Geek and Sundry, there are a couple of other wrestling fans that work there. And, my boss, or one of my bosses, as I was walking in, he was like, man, I don't get Velveteen Dream. I don't get him. And I said, you will get it. You will understand. And the first time I was at the studio after TakeOver, as I'm walking in, he's holding the door for me and he looks at me and he goes, Velveteen Dream. And I went, yes, I told you. I flipping told you. So that was a highlight. But, I wonder what's next for both of these folks. I wonder what's next for both of them. I guess we'll find out with the tapings tonight. We'll see who's in line for an NXT title shot. Aleister Black is pretty up there. All right, let's get into some of these title matches. Excuse me. The NXT Women's Championship Fatal 4-Way match for the vacated title, I thought was really cool. It was a good Fatal 4-Way match. The one thing that I was a little bit concerned about is they were moving really fast. Like the importance of them trying to get the pin before anybody else had a chance to win, it was very prevalent. But you've got to know what you're doing, so that if you are doing it in an accelerated fashion, if you are doing it fast, you don't slip up. Because if you're focusing too hard on getting it done quickly, you're not focusing hard on getting it done efficiently. So this match seemed very quick, very quick. Ember Moon got the win, of course, but I mean, we mentioned it on the show before TakeOver. It could have gone anywhere. It really could have gone anywhere. NXT Championship match. Okay. A lot of stuff happened in this match. This was, I think, Andrade's best match to date. And it had to be, because you have to be on your top tier performance if you're going up for a championship. And this showed the importance of Zelina Vega, both as somebody at the side of the ring to cheer him on and encourage him and maybe snap him out of whatever strategies that aren't working and put him back on the right path. And also how she got involved and helped provide. Though ultimately, one of my favorite things about this match is while Zelina did get involved, it wasn't in the final decision. The final decision came when when Andrade hit a top rope DDT that completely wrecked McIntyre to the point where as he was trying to catch himself coming down, he pulled his bicep. And that was... things happen in wrestling. Things happen in wrestling. So Andrade, I think, successfully now, with his victory, has gotten major control over Drew's psyche and over Drew physically by getting the 1-2-3 and not being responsible for the injury, but influencing the injury that did occur. Hoo boy. Let's take a look here. Let's take a look back at the thing. Are we talking about Infinity War? Man? All right. With rumors, Xenoar asks, with rumors of Ricochet coming to NXT, which independent wrestler would you like to get signed in 2018? That's easy. The Hobo. If you ask me that any time of the year before, until he gets signed, I will always say the Hobo. Because that man is my friend, and I love him, and he is too good. And if you are only a fan of his by watching this program, you need to watch him wrestle, because seeing him live is an experience, and his skills, and don't take this the wrong way, Hobo, he's not here to punch me, but for a dude his size, he's incredibly strong and incredibly swift and knows how to run a ring. So in terms of people who would get signed, Hobo, 100%. Actually, if you haven't seen the Hobo wrestle, go to Soapbox Car TV on YouTube. You can do it now. You can take, that's fine. You don't have to watch me for the rest of the show. Soapbox Car TV, that's where we used to do a bunch of variety stuff, entertainment stuff. But that's also where Hobo has been uploading his matches. So go over, support Mr. Baines by heading over to Soapbox Car TV and watching some Hobo matches. Him versus Willie Mack. Holy crap. That's a good one. There was a dumpster match between him and Ricky Mandel. That's really good. I was there for that. And then there's one against him and Ryan Taylor. Check those out. But also, one of my favorite things is currently awoken superstar Matt Hardy gave Hobo a rub at a previous Championship Wrestling from Hollywood event. And it was one of the coolest things that I ever got to see my friend do. And so, yeah. So if anybody is gonna make it to the WWE this year, damn well better be the Hobo. Anyway, okay, this War Games match, I think, went above and beyond. The only note that I had was from a production standpoint, and that was at the top of the match, having the three cages on the stage. Cool, great, fun. Don't fill the middle cage first, because you still have to get... I think it made Roddy's entrance dressed as one of the authors of pain, or dressed as an author of pain, a ghostwriter of pain. I think it diminished the reaction of that because it was such a weird shot. Even people in the arena, they couldn't see past the grate, or maybe have it so where the thing's on wheels so that you can move it out of the way, and then when it's in, you plop it down, put them in. That's a whole bunch of production stuff, but that's what I think. A blogger of pain. Yeah. Hobo will get an AfterBuzz chant by the NXT fans. I flippin' hope so. Sonya deserves one of those, for the love of goodness. But, hey, fans, you should get an AfterBuzz chant ready. Anyway, the War Games match. No surprise that Undisputed Era started. Not surprised that, or actually, pretty surprised that that Sanity ended it. But by including all of the weapons that they did, that's a good point. I'm gonna look that up. By bringing in all of the weapons that they did, it helped bring it to another level. I would say Alexander Wolf and Killian Dane were my two favorite superstars in this match. I think Roddy did amazing. He would probably be my third favorite person in this match. But Killian Dane and Alexander Wolf, just amazing. Let's see. I don't see anything. Yeah, he's just retweeting a whole bunch of stuff from War Games. So it looks like it wasn't anything too major, but Alexander Wolf got the back of his head torn up when he did that German suplex. And what it seems like to me is he hit the back table first and just cracked open, or maybe like cut open the back of his head. Everybody head over to twitter.com/theWWE Wolf because the top post is the gif of Kyle O'Reilly hitting himself in the head with the chair and Wolf hitting him thusly and appropriately with a German suplex. Dane's coast to coast was amazing. Wolf again, secret best member of society. Not secret whatsoever. He is no doubt, and I think the only reason he's not making, or I think the reason why he's putting himself out there as much and acting as crazy is because he's, no offense to the man, but he is up with three huge pre-established superstars in Killian Dane, in why would I do that, in Eric Young, and in Nikki Cross. And he had a bit of a following, yes, in Europe, but he's really, I think he has a lot to serve by being a performance center guy. So with that, I think with that, he has to stand out, and he does 100%. Not surprisingly, the Undisputed Era won. It was a little surprising in the way that they won, where Eric Young was just like, whatever, I got a chair, kicked in the head, to which they got the win. But a little sad, Nikki didn't get involved in the match. To be perfectly honest, I thought she was going to pop out of one of the garbage cans and just, man. Mark works as a geek at Sundry. I wonder if he works alongside a certain outlaw. Listen, I know the outlaw. I know the outlaw very well. He doesn't have a show at Geek and Sundry anymore. He did. And it's just not on season right now, but, I hope to see John again soon. Kyle Franklin saying, I didn't think Undisputed Era would win. Why not? Why did you think that they wouldn't win? I think if they needed to prove everything that they were about, they had to win. There was no question that they would do whatever it took to win. And the fact that Adam Cole wasn't involved in that huge Tower of Doom spot, in both of the rings, I think it would have ended up a little bit differently. Now, he was involved in the suplex off the top of the cage, which was a little rough. But aside from Wolf being in the back of the head, yeah, man. It was a fantastic match. We're going to talk about it a little bit more in the coming weeks. But the week after, we got to see Sonya Deville and Ruby Riott in an awesome match, really cool match. And the only thing that I didn't like from it happened the next week, because this was, to me, that match happened and I went, this is the future of the women's division right here. And they were fighting for some sort of, it sounded like they were going to be fighting for some sort of number one contendership. And they didn't really mention it at all during commentary during the match. But afterwards, I was like, yeah, okay, this is the future. This is the future. And And we're getting a rematch next week. But they got called up to Raw and SmackDown, respectively. And I don't know how much longer they're going to be on both brands. But it may not be for long. I was really hoping Sonya Deville and Ember Moon would be the next big feud for that. Xenoware, we need Mark Donica, Hobo, and Bill and Schmodown. Look, don't think that we would do well. I've been to a couple and seen, and I know a lot of the competitors from being at this studio. There's a couple of people that came from this studio, and just a couple of people that I know in that tournament in general. It's very taxing, and my movie knowledge would only be in like the inner geekdom category, but I'm still not, I don't think I'm competition ready. Anyway, back to the show. Next week's No Holds Barred, I think Sonya is going to choke Ruby out very dangerously. Who wore the better gear, Roderick Strong or Kurt Angle, in a battle of the tactical outfits? I like Roderick Strong's better. I think it worked for him. It's another one of those things where it's like, he wasn't talking, he doesn't seem lame. He had his, he's got his emblem on it. So he didn't match the Authors of Pain, he didn't become an Author of Pain, but he was still Roderick, but he was a member of that team and ready for war, and it was really cool. It was a really cool thing to say. Yeah, staying in NXT versus going to the main roster, of course, that's what you do. And when it comes to joining the main roster, on Raw, we had the return of Paige, former NXT Women's Champion Paige, Sonya Deville, and Mandy Rose. Very interesting to have the anti-diva versus essentially the total diva in Mandy Rose. And that's no offense to her, because she's an amazing competitor, and anytime we've seen her work, it's been brill. But with SmackDown, we got Ruby Riott, every time, Sarah Logan, and Liv Morgan in the Riott Squad. Oh boy. And we don't know if she still has two T's. That's weird. And the UK Championship match, Absolution is a weird name for them. And for the NXT UK Championship, handled Mandy's call up like Braun. The UK Championship match on NXT with Johnny Gargano and Pete Dunne was really good. I think the only thing that was holding the match back was the fact that Johnny Gargano wasn't a part of the UK tournament. He's not billed as somebody from that UK group. So it didn't seem believable or plausible as to why he would win. Also, then it would have turned the UK Championship into the European Championship, where the European Championship was something that was only defended in Europe. And then once Shawn Michaels won it, it just became another championship. No offense, but it did. Oh boy. Yeah. The match was phenomenal. Don't get me wrong. It was a very phenomenal match, and Johnny Gargano put up a hell of a fight, but a Pete Dunne, especially after his performance tonight in the tag match, which I know was shot beforehand, either way, was something that proves as to why he needs to have that championship. And I wish Neville was still there. We still don't know if Neville is gone, but I would like for him to challenge for the UK championship, have him pivot so that he can still have amazing matches and not be stuck with the stigma of like a 205 Live, which really sucks. Congratulations on your year of being a show, but there's a little bit of a stigma there. Joseph Boza, it felt like they just wanted a title defense out of Pete Dunne and threw something and figured out what sticks. Oh, hey, Johnny Wrestling. Makes a little bit of sense. I can understand that. Johnny Gargano, I mean, they're kind of, it feels like they're waiting for Tommaso Ciampa. Like, they need to, that's, I think, Johnny's final bit in NXT will be Tommaso Ciampa, and that feud may last a while. It may just be one big blow-off match between the two of them, but I think that will be the thing that carries Johnny into the main roster and maybe carries Tommaso Ciampa towards the NXT championship. Depends on where on what happens. But the past couple of weeks of NXT and in NXT news have been wild. It was amazing also to see a member of the AfterBuzz TV fam, two members of the AfterBuzz TV family, really make their second debut with Christy being a live announcer and then Sonya being up on Raw. Dude, it's been a hell of a week for us here, hell of a couple of weeks for us here at AfterBuzz TV, and we're so happy for all of the success that they have and that they've earned because they have worked hard to get into those positions. And we're still doing our thing here. Don't you know it? And if you want more, make sure you subscribe. If you're watching this for the first time or if you're listening to us on iTunes, make sure to head over to the AfterBuzz TV Wrestling and Sports YouTube page. It is just for wrestling and sports. Right now, there's a little bit of football. So there will be a little bit of basketball. But ultimately, there will be a lot of wrestling content that lives here. So for your Monday Night Raw show, your Tuesday Night SmackDown live show, your NXT show, your Lucha Underground show, which will be coming back in season 4, whenever that happens, we don't know, pay-per-view show, if for all of that coverage, if you're not subscribed, what are you doing? Make sure you subscribe there. I just totally killed my engineer's ears. Sorry. So sorry, but make sure you subscribe. Thank you so much. This show, I know, is a little weird being a solo show. I haven't done a solo show in a really long time, but luckily there's enough to talk about where it doesn't feel like I'm rambling. So to all of the people that have been watching us, that have been supporting us, thank you, beyond thank you, and thank you for joining me tonight. Make sure, again, head over to nxteam.spreadshirt.com. Please support the show. It'll help us get to more events. WrestleMania is coming up, and it's in a really expensive city. And if you want firsthand coverage of NXT TakeOver, please let us know. Or even the Rumble. If we can make that happen, we would need to sell a lot of t-shirts. But right now, with leading up to Christmas, there's going to be a lot of sales. A lot of sales. So please, nxteam.spreadshirt.com, leave it up on your browser. So anytime you come back, you go, oh, hey, what's this over here? Or if there's something that you're, what's that? We're canceled? All right. Just we're keeping it going. We got canceled. But make sure, if there's anything that you do want to see, if you get a funny idea for a shirt, then we'll make it. If there's something that we say that's really funny and you would wear a shirt of it, let us know and we'll make it. Because, hell, we're your employees? I don't know. We do the show for you, and we have a wonderful time doing it. It's one of the highlights of my week to sit around with a bunch of friends and talk about NXT, which is one of the best shows on television, wrestling or none. And y'all make it that much sweeter. A little bit of Salt Bay, but imagine it's sugar. Sugar Bay. So make sure, if you want to talk to us at all during the week, use the hashtag NXTeam on Twitter or leave a comment down below on this very video. If you want to follow the rest of our team, make sure you do that. You can follow me at Mark B. Donica. I was keeping you on your toes. Thanks to everybody in chat who was my co-host for the evening. We got Lake Baloney Williams, Zeno Hour, Sharkasaur, Marionette, James Sugden. I don't recognize your name. Come around more often, please. Joseph Boza. Did I say Zeno Hour? I don't know if I said Zeno Hour. So Zeno Hour. Kyle Franklin, Dang MQ, Aaron B. Everybody. If I missed you, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. The guy that said, hey, white guy. there he is, Sammy Talks, hashtag Logan G for life, sup white guy, comment of the year. Thanks everybody. It was a lot of fun. Make sure to follow everybody here. Oh, Joe Loco 386, thank you. Make sure that you subscribe to us on iTunes, you subscribe to us here on YouTube, and follow everything AfterBuzz TV by going on Twitter at AfterBuzz TV. Thank you so much. Thanks, Juliet, for watching this episode of the NXT After Show. See you next week.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
I mean, I guess I'll buzz you later. The views expressed herein are those of the host only, do not necessarily reflect the views of
AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.